The riddle of what New Orleans will look like in the future may be a little closer to a solution. Last Wednesday, the Bring New Orleans Back Commission unveiled its plan for rebuilding the city. The blueprint includes proposals for new development, parks, and a light rail system. It also calls for a redevelopment commission to oversee rebuilding. But some residents who crowded into a downtown hotel for the announcement were not pleased.
My name is Calvin Alexander, Jr. I want you to know that you talked today about FEMA this and federal this, and I'm sick and tired of federal anything. I'm sick of it. I am a working person. I pay federal taxes. Because I want everybody here to understand FEMA comes out of my damn paycheck.
My name is Carolyn S. Parker. I live in the lower Ninth Ward. I came to this meeting to find out what your vision for the lower Ninth Ward. So I'm here for those persons who could not get back to New Orleans. And I don't think it's right if you try to take our property over my dead body. I didn't die with Katrina.
Deciding which areas will be rebuilt and a four-month moratorium on construction raised the strongest sentiments. The mayor, the state, and the federal government all must sign off on the plan, but rebuilding is already going on in parts of the city, some of it coordinated by local and national preservation groups. New Orleans has the highest concentration of historic architecture per capita in the nation, 33,000 buildings in 20 historic districts. The city's most famous areas remain largely intact after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita, but its less well-known historic districts, many of them working-class neighborhoods, were ruined by the storm and later floods. On Friday, the president of the National Trust for Historic Preservation urged the mayor to reject the four-month building moratorium, and as Eve Truro reports, even more renovation is scheduled to begin as early as tomorrow.
Willie White runs an architectural salvage company in New Orleans. He and a crew of five are working in the Treme, an historic, mostly poor neighborhood just north of the French Quarter. They're slowly picking apart a house that collapsed during Hurricane Katrina. It dates to the 1860s.
We're going to remove the shingles by hand, and then we'll start taking the sheathing off, and then the rafters will probably just start falling away as the sheathing is removed. Front of the house is spectacular East Lake architecture. It's all cypress, it's all original, and we'll lower it by ropes to the ground and store it for reuse.
That original cypress gable is a 2-ton antique. It would cost at least $8,000 to make a new one. That's if you used cedar, and it wouldn't be as intricate. It's the kind of craftsmanship that makes New Orleans a treasure for people who love historic architecture. Such a treasure, in fact, that looters are stealing the carved wood brackets and wrought iron railings from homes in damaged areas and selling them easily. Preservationists from around the country have stepped in to help save New Orleans buildings. Greg Hubbard from Sanford, Maine, is a volunteer with the National Trust for Historic Preservation. He says he knew the city had great houses, but he didn't realize how many.
Just block after block after block of these wonderful, wonderful homes. They're just shot with ornament. It's sort of like a one-story tall San Francisco.
But saving these vast tracts of wooden Creole cottages and decorated shotgun houses will take a long time. Willie White's small crew needs 3 weeks to take apart the Cypress Gable House in Treme. The job will cost about $15,000, while the owner could have it bulldozed and hauled away for about $5,000. This is only the fifth project White has taken since the hurricane hit, though he says he gets 60 to 70 calls a day. He's sympathetic with homeowners who want to demolish, but he won't do it.
I try to talk them into just waiting to see what's going to happen, because most of these houses don't need to be demolished, but they're in despair because they don't have the finances to rebuild. They don't have the finances really to even pay to have them demolished in a lot of cases, and they don't know what to do.
Telling thousands of people living in cruise ships or hotel rooms to wait and see in the name of preservation may seem like a ridiculous request. Homeowners without insurance will get a maximum of $26,200 from FEMA. In almost every case, that's not nearly enough to rebuild. Many nonprofit groups are working to ease the financial burden of rebuilding.
Hi. Good, how are you? We were sent by the ladies you met before to bring you some cleaning supplies.
Yes, ma'am.
National Trust volunteers canvass neighborhoods to talk to people about the value of their homes and teach them how to combat mold or remove sheetrock themselves. The trust is also lobbying Congress for $60 million in grants for homeowners. Others, like New Orleans Green Project and the Rebuilding Center, based in Portland, Oregon, are helping homeowners recycle old building materials and training volunteers in salvage and preservation techniques. New Orleans Preservation Resource Center says most areas targeted by preservationists are approved for rebuilding under the city's plan. For the past 30 years, the center has helped people buy and restore old homes. Patricia Gay is the center's executive director. She says a restored house is worth more.
If you're able to restore the old house, you're going to be building your equity. The new house is not going to do it. The quality of the materials, the quality of the workmanship, the quality of the design is not going to be anywhere near equal. And no one has ever analyzed the equity that low-income homeowners have lost by our failure to maintain a neighborhood.
Many of the neighborhoods adopted by preservation nonprofits were blighted before Hurricane Katrina struck. But Gay says even with the storm's damage, they could come back as valuable assets for the city. After all, she points out, 70 years ago, the French Quarter was blighted too.
In 1936, we said we're going to save the French Quarter. It was probably the best thing ever done for the city economically, and that has been our approach ever since. We think of neighborhoods in their entirety.
Some fear that preservationists want to make all of New Orleans like the French Quarter, which today is as much a theme park as a neighborhood. The French Quarter's population is also almost entirely white. Many of the areas where preservationists are working were 70 to 100% African American before the storms, and these have the best chance of being rebuilt under the city's plan. Mary Ruffin Hanbury is Hurricane Relief Coordinator for the National Trust in New Orleans. She says the Trust's goal is to preserve communities, not just buildings.
Even in neighborhoods that aren't particularly rich, there is a rich building stock of beautiful vernacular architecture that was built by craftsmen who may not have been rich either. And that craftsmanship should remain as a testimony to the people who built it and who live in it.
In the Lower Ninth Ward, 88-year-old Mildred Bennett got about 6 feet of water in her 19th-century house. She didn't have flood insurance, so her family started in on the cleanup.
To get in the door, you actually had to, like, kick it, you know, because furniture had washed up to the front of it.
Her granddaughter, Donna Duplantier, says the homeowner's policy on the house didn't come close to paying for the damage.
She knows that she doesn't have the money. As a matter of fact, I have a copy of the check that her insurance company presented her, which is under $5,000.
The tiny pink cottage is Duplantier's family home. It was a gift to her great-great-great-grandmother, who worked on a nearby plantation.
My brother and I tried to start moving furniture out. We took the legs off the sofa and the love seat and dragged it out. And then we thought, this is too much. We started crying. It's like, there's no way we can do this.
Duplantier told her family's story to volunteers from the Preservation Resource Center and National Trust, and they took on the cleanup. It's now one of 7 demonstration homes for post-Katrina preservation. A team of more than 50 volunteers gutted it and removed mold with the help of a local contractor. The house now sits completely empty, stripped to the building studs.
I can almost breathe like a breath of fresh air that there's going to be new life in here. Seeing it like this makes me believe that my grandmother will be back in her home.
Duplantier's family home is in a zone labeled safe for rebuilding in the city's current plan. So far, it's the only house for blocks that has reached this stage of renewal. But tomorrow, volunteers will begin to gut 4 more homes in the area, including her next-door neighbors. For NPR News, I'm Eve Troe in New Orleans.